All right. Are we ready to begin? So this is prayer ministry class. So last week we started on practical ministry part one. We're going to finish with practical ministry part two today. We're going to learn about how to minister to others. And what I'm talking about when I talk about that is I'm talking about when you're in church and Christians or people that are visiting the church are coming up for prayer. Okay? So this environment up here is what I'm going to be talking about when I talk about praying for others up here. Okay? And then how to minister to children. When you're going to pray for children, how do you do that? Because it's a little bit different than you might think. And then for yourself, how to receive for yourself when you have something in your body trying to get you. And so how do you do it for yourself? Because sometimes that's even more difficult than for somebody else, you know, especially if you've been dealing with it for a long time, like one of the things we learned last week. So if you got your Bible, let's go ahead and start on how to pray for ourselves, if we can do that one first, okay? Because you can use a lot of these principles as you're ministering to other people also when they're trying to receive for themselves. So we'll just go ahead and use that. So let's go ahead and start in praying for ministering to ourselves. So just to begin with, when you're going to start ministering to yourself, if you're dealing with something in yourself or you haven't seen results in an area, the very first thing we've got to do is be honest with ourselves. That's the very, very first thing we have to do is be honest with ourselves. Where are we at? What do we believe? What is it we're expecting? What is it that's in us? So number one, we have to be honest with ourselves. Okay? Number two is we have to speak swiftly to the mountain. And some of you aren't familiar with that phrase, speaking to the mountain. So I just want to share a couple of verses and go over it pretty quickly with you. If you want in-depth teaching in this area, Andrew Womack has a series called A Better Way to Pray that he goes into a lot of detail of this, okay? It was more than I can just share in the few weeks that we had together. But he talks about that in prayer, hypocrites love to pray. Hypocrites like to use a lot of words and say how great they are and make it all about them when they're standing before God. But the one of very few words is the one that gets the results with God. We don't need a lot of words in prayer. We just let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Okay? Secondly, in that teaching, Jesus is the only mediator. He's the mediator between God and man. You're not, and I'm not. So it's not about us begging and pleading and telling God all the things we've done, why he needs to heal that person. We don't need to even go down that road at all. God is good. And then the purpose of prayer, he teaches, and that is the purpose of prayer is relationship with God. Talking to God, fellowshipping with God, enjoying God. That's what prayer is for. A relationship with God. It's not to get something from him, although there's times when we need something from him. It's not making your request be made known and getting your petition before God and declaring what he's going to give to you and contending for it. It's not so much that as it is relationship with him, talking to him, including him in your life, being with him. Okay? And then what I'm going to talk about right now, speaking to the mountain. And he talks clearly about we can pray for somebody by laying hands on them, by a lot of different things and seeing results. But if we want to see the results faster when we pray for people, the best way to do that is to speak to the problem and tell it to get out of the body. So the mountain will be whatever your problem is, whatever the sickness is, whatever the situation is that needs to be removed. That is violating the crucifixion of Christ. In other words, anything the devil's putting on somebody that Jesus took care of on the cross, the devil has no right to put it on any person. Even if they did something wrong and deserved it. You know, and an analogy has been given recently that if you have your front door wide open in your house, okay, and you forget and you go to the grocery store and your front door you left wide open in your house when you left, does a thief have a right to come into your house and steal your stuff because you left the door open? No. He does not have a right to do that. But is it stupid to leave your door open because somebody could come in and steal your stuff and you make it easy for them? It's the same way. The devil is a thief And he's going to take whatever he can get from anybody. And if we're ignorant and don't know that he has no right to put this on people, regardless of what it is, if Jesus paid for it on the cross, then we have to evict him at times. And that means we need to speak to the problems and tell them to go. And a good verse for that is going to be Mark 11, 23 and 24. It goes all the way to 26. And let's look at that real quick. Are you there? So you're familiar with this, where Jesus came up and he was walking with his disciples, and there was a fig tree, and the fig tree had leaves on it, but it wasn't bearing any figs. And Jesus went up there because he was hungry, expecting to get something to eat. Even though it wasn't the time for figs, he expected to go get something to eat from this tree, and there was no figs on it. So he cursed the fig tree and told it that no one will ever eat from it again. And it dried up from the roots immediately. Well, the next day when they're coming around, the disciples are there, and they look at this tree, because they were there when he cursed it, and they look at this tree, and it is dried up just as dead as can be, and they were freaking out. How would you be if you're all walking along, Pastor Trey and I are there, and Pastor Trey goes to some bush and says, "Curse you and die." And we come by the next day, and it is just dried up, dead as a bone, you know? Just, wow, that is crazy. How can you do that? And Jesus said, have faith in God. And then he said this. He said in verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." 24. "Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So in other words, if there's a mountain in the way and you want it out of the way, you tell it to get out of the way and go jump into the sea, okay? You have to tell the problem to leave, okay? If what you're wanting isn't happening, you remove the problem from the situation, okay? If I have somebody in this room and they're being very disruptive, okay? I could say, I would appreciate everybody's attention, talking to everybody, right? And if everybody gave me their attention, but this one person was being disruptive and continued at disruption, what would be my next course? Having that person removed from the room, right? Because it's, yes, Matt, take him out and have them removed from the room. It's the same way with sickness. If when I tell the body to be healed or to be made whole and it doesn't obey me right then I tell the problem to leave. Are you with me? Do you understand? So you don't have to do that every time, but it brings manifestation sooner. Okay. Then Andrew taught in a better way to pray. The last thing was that prayer is a process. Sometimes it doesn't happen all at once. So what do you do if it doesn't happen all at once? You know, and he gave a very good example in the Old Testament where Daniel prayed, and within just a few moments, he had the answer to his prayer right away. And then a few chapters later, he prays again, and he didn't get the answer to his prayer for 3 weeks. It didn't come. And why didn't it come in 3 weeks is because it's not because God didn't answer his prayer instantly like he did from the first time. The same thing happened. The Lord answered his prayer instantly as soon as he prayed, but he didn't see the manifestation for 3 weeks. And the reason was the prince of the air, Prince of Tyre, was standing, or Prince of Persia, I guess it was withstanding the angel, so the angel couldn't bring the request to the man. So there was a demonic adversaries against God's minister to bring that healing to pass, or that whatever you're praying for, all right? So in Daniel's time, I know it's the Old Testament, but here's the thing. The devil doesn't always leave the first time you tell him to go. He's obstinate. He's stubborn. He kills. He destroys. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a blamer. He is antagonistic. He is a liar of all liars. And that's just who he is. And the thing is, he will withstand us as long as he can. He will. He'll do his best to withstand us. The days of thinking, oh, well, if I say go in Jesus' name, he needs to go instantly. And if he doesn't, oh, it didn't work. I've got stories and stories and stories of people I've prayed for, and days later, they got totally healed. I don't know why it happens in 5 seconds with one guy and 5 days in another person. I don't know the answer to that. But I do know this. Believe the word of God is true, regardless of what results you get. You know that? Regardless, if your car, I'm just going to give you a little example. If your car, you go to start your engine and your car won't start. You go like that and the car goes, wah. Do you just go, get rid of the car, it's no good anymore, forget it. That car's no good, it doesn't work. Forget that car. Is that what you do? No way. You know what you'll do? I guarantee every one of you will wait a second and go right back and go, rawr, again, to see if it'll start that next time, won't you? And if it doesn't, if it sounds a little bit like things are moving in the right direction, you may even hit it a third time before it starts or you have to go get a jump. All right? If you'll do that with your own car, we can do that for other people too. Amen? You don't give up on your car the first time. Don't give up on the fact that God's power is working in you. Whether you perceive it is or not, it is. It is. And sometimes we just beat the devil by sheer hanging in there. By just hanging in there, we beat him sometimes. Just not giving up, okay? So I just want to encourage you on that. So number two is to speak swiftly to the mountain. Well, pick your poison. Okay, number two is speak swiftly to your mountain. Number three, prepare in peace for times of war. Prepare in peace for times of war. That's a good one. So let's just say this, that you have some kind of sickness that tries to get you. It's cyclical. In other words, it comes and bothers you. You get rid of it. And then later, it comes back again. Maybe it's a routine infection that you get or something, or the standard colds in the wintertime, you know, or summer colds or the flu season or anything like that. Something that's cyclical, that it's a yearly thing, it happens, or in your life it happens in some kind of consistency. In times of peace, prepare for war. In other words, when it's not bothering you, when you're not sick, that's when you need to get your verses and get all built up on the Word of God and what it says. If you've got a good job and you've got money coming in, that's when you need to start building up prosperity scriptures and you're getting your mind renewed to the increase of God, right? Not when you're broke and you don't have a job and you got no prospects. That's not when you start trying to build yourself up on faith for finances. That's when you're already in the battle. When you're in the battle, all you've got for resources is what's already in you. That's all you've got. And that's when you need to be rescued from by somebody else, usually at those times. So instead of needing to be rescued with sickness or health issues, it's better that when you're not being tormented or tempted by those things, to build yourself up in the Spirit at that time. Pray, read your Word, find out what you believe, get it settled down in your heart. Okay? Number four, spot condemnation. Spot condemnation. We're talking about ourselves here. Number one was that we needed to be honest with ourselves. Number four is spot condemnation. If there's something in your heart that you're feeling condemned about, what it does, it voids your confidence in God, the Holy Spirit, and the truth of the Word. What happens is when you're suffering from condemnation, what it does is it takes you over into the soulish realm of being in trouble, of being unfit for use. And if you're in that condition, you don't perceive the Holy Spirit. You don't perceive to be confident in the Spirit, to be bold in the Spirit. You don't perceive you have victory over the devil in those situations. You're in the victim mentality when you're under condemnation. So we need to be honest with ourselves. And if we spot condemnation in our heart, that's a great time to get in the Bible and find out what the Bible says about that stuff. You know, Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. So the thing is, if you're in condemnation, it's just you're being flesh-minded, not a big deal. It's easy to get over. Recognize it, repent, and just ask the Lord to cleanse your heart of that. And He will. He's faithful to do that. Amen? All right, number six. This is a good one. Okay, thank you. You guys are taking good notes, huh? Thank you. Number five, Guard your tongue. Now, what could I mean about that? Huh? How about this? Let's look at a verse real quick. Let's go to Proverbs 18. Let's go there real quick. You guys make me laugh. You guys are great. 18:21. Are you with me? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So, what are you saying? What's coming out? Let's just say this. We're creators, and we create with our mouth. When our heart and our mouth are engaged, we create. Okay? So, what are you saying? Things like this. I'm sick. I've got this issue. I can't seem to get over this. I tried, but it gets me every time. Those kinds of things. Are you owning that sickness is yours? Or is it an attack from the devil trying to make you sick? Where are you at on that? Where are you at? Do you own it as you? Or is it an attack from the devil trying to get you? Are you with me on that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like this, I have a cold. So then, okay, boom, you have a cold. What happened was the devil came, gave me some symptoms, and I could have said, get away from me now. No, I don't receive that. Or those symptoms come, and I say, oh, I'm catching a cold. Because you get the symptoms, oh, I'm catching a cold. Do you see the difference? Also, you always, I never, those kinds of things, bad, don't do those. I always get sick this time of year. Or don't get near me, I always catch that kind of stuff. You know? How about this one? Somebody will say, I don't want to shake your hand because I'm fighting the flu. And you go, oh God, don't let that get on me. Oh, I don't want to have to fight that one right now. Oh, don't let that on me. Where's your faith at in all of that kind of stuff? Or you go, give me a hug anyway. No weapon formed against me can prosper in Jesus' Amen. Name. You know, those germs will die as soon as they touch me. Where's your faith at? You know, so again, build yourself up when you're not being attacked. Get sound in the word. Don't be presumptuous. Don't be prideful. Be real. Where do you really stand? Build your real heart up so that you can stand in those times when they come. Those surprise attacks. Amen. I can't even tell you how many times at nighttime, and maybe some of you have done this, the devil, if he can't get me in the daytime, he tries to get me in the nighttime when I'm sleeping. And when I'm sleeping, all of a sudden, you know, a sore throat or a pain or something will just try to get me at night. I can't even tell you how many times I've woke up at night and gone, no, in the name of Jesus, I do not receive that. You will get out of my body right now. I have to rebuke that, and then I go back to sleep again. I do a couple swallows. Okay, good. And off to sleep I go again, or get a glass of water. So listen, we have to stand against that kind of stuff. And pretty soon as you stand and stand and stand, it will become sick. You won't even think about it. You'll just automatically, no. You won't let it get a foothold in you and start building its territory. Now, number 6. Weed the garden of your heart. You guys know the parable of the 4 kinds of grounds, right? And there's 4 kinds of ground. The ground, the 4th ground, in one translation says a good and noble heart. That good and noble heart that makes 30, 60, and 100-fold return on the crop that it's received, on the seed that it's received. It was pure ground, all cleaned up, all tilled, rock-free, weed-freed ground that produced. So, if we have hearts that have a lot of gravel in them, we need to get the gravel out. If we got hearts that have a lot of thorns and thistles in them, we got to get the thorns and the thistles out. And what are thorns and thistles? They are the cares of this world. They're the deceitfulness of riches. They're all the things that will preoccupy you to put your attention that your reality is in and your primary attention is in this natural world. Rather than that you are a king's kid. Your citizenship is in the kingdom of God. That you are born from heaven. That God is your father. That you are spiritual and you have eternal life. And that your kingdom is the new Jerusalem. And you are a citizen of that kingdom. Is that your primary identity? When that's your primary identity, the things in this world you will totally stand against, no problem, because they won't own you anymore. So we have to groom our hearts. For when we are locked into something, I tell you, I've had possessions in my past that I loved them. And God would say, give it up, give it away. Oh my gosh, did I get a chance to see what I loved at that moment. Oh my gosh. It's like, okay. Maybe I didn't hear God. Maybe that was just the devil just trying to make me miserable. And the Holy Spirit goes, it's not. Oh no. Just to check my heart to see if I'd give it up or not. When I gave it up, it was good. When I didn't give it up, it wasn't good. Not that he punished me. It's just my heart had yuck in it because he asked me to do something and I didn't do it. I loved the thing instead. And it took time to learn how to let go of things. Now, almost anything I'll give up pretty freely. Almost anything. Almost, Lord. So we need to weed the garden of our hearts. What do we believe about certain things? What do you believe about healing? Does it only work if so-and-so prays for you? What do you believe about healing? Does it have to come over time? Can it come right away? What do you believe about praying for people? Does God have to supernaturally speak to you what to say? Or can you just speak what you believe you should say at that moment? Where's your belief systems at in all this stuff? Groom your own heart so that you plant with purpose in your own heart. Develop your heart. Teach your heart how to walk spiritually. Okay? And you do that in union with the Holy Spirit and with the Bible. And we just take times. I can't even tell you. You guys probably have testimony after testimony of times when you've gotten a verse out and you've quoted it over and over and over again. Or you wrote it on a card and you looked at it two or three times and reminded yourself, trying to get that verse into your heart so that it becomes revelation to you. Have any of you guys done that? And that's how you get it into your heart. Or another way you can get it into your heart, since we're doing this in times of peace and not in times of war, is you sit and you read your Bible and you study your Bible. And as you do, the Holy Spirit will give you life on things. And all of a sudden, revelation comes. And then you don't even have to try to memorize the verse because you've been studying that verse and it's just become one with it. You just kind of know the verse after that. And so you don't have to sit out and deliberately just by rote try to memorize every verse in the Bible. As you learn, teach on subjects like the blood of Jesus, what did it accomplish? Or the cross of Christ, what did he accomplish? Or you just take maybe Isaiah 53, the crucifixion of Jesus, and really see what it is that he paid for. And as you take the time to really learn that stuff, it settles down in your heart and you get more cemented in your faith. Are you with me? Number 7, the power of your imagination. The power of your imagination. And if you want to look at Ephesians 3, verse 20, the power of your imagination. You know, there, this verse says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that works in us, right? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It has to be working in us. If it's not in us, it can't come out of us. Are you with me? So Peter talks about it clearly. There's so many verses in the Bible that talks about it, that God calls things in the beginning from the end, calls from the end in the very beginning. In other words, he tells you exactly how it's going to turn out before he ever starts. Amen? And what we need to be able to do is see ourselves in those situations doing those things. I practice this. This is what I do. I practice this. And I don't do it all the time, but I sit there and I daydream. Sometimes I'll have the TV on and I'll be in my own little world, or I'll be driving my car, or I'll be sitting out on my porch, or I'll be wherever and I'll be daydreaming, okay? Daydreaming is seeing dreams in the daytime, okay? It's deliberate visualization. Can I say those words? They're not New Agey, I'm just telling you. I deliberately picture. I go ahead and see myself laying hands on people and seeing them recover right before my eyes. I hear them rejoicing. I'm telling you, I do things like this. I'll see myself going and just meeting somebody and talking to them, and they'll be telling me about something. And as I'm shaking their hand, I see the lights come on in their eyes. And they just, Lord heals them. I see those kinds of things, and I take time to see those things. And the more that I do that, the more I get those kinds of circumstances in my life. So the power of your imagination is really important. Nothing that you can look at out of your eyeballs in this room, nothing that you can see with your eyes didn't start in somebody's imagination. Not one thing. You can't go out in this, out on that sidewalk and see one thing except the sky that didn't start in somebody's imagination. Somebody did everything that's out there. All the asphalt, all the buildings, all the telephone poles, all the wires, all the trees in their yard, the houses, the curbs, the fire hydrants, everything started in somebody's imagination. Somebody thunk it first. And then after they thunk it, they built it. And we use it now. It's the same way. Everything that's created has to start in your mind. It has to start in your mind. If you can see it in your mind, you can bring it to pass in the natural. Right? Remember when God got so upset at the Tower of Babel? Remember when he was so upset because their imaginations were constantly evil? So what happens is, because they all got together in agreement, he says, nothing will be withheld from them. They can do absolutely anything now, because whatever they come together to do, they can accomplish it. So we're going to disperse them everywhere now. Same way. If you and I can come together in agreement, we can do anything. You know, I have a saying that I say with my friends, together we can do anything. I may have these skills, you may have those skills, you may have different skills, but together, when a problem arises, we can solve the problem, because between us, we have all the tools and all the brain power to get the job done. Isn't that right? So the same way in the spiritual realm, since we're spirit and we are spiritual beings and God is a spirit and everything we have is in the spirit and we manifest it in the natural, we bring it into the natural, through speaking it into existence and by laying hands on people, you have to be able to see yourself walking in the very thing you believe is available for you. Are you with me on that? I'm wondering if I should give a couple of examples. You guys are good with that? Do I need to give you a couple of examples of that? Okay, yes. Thank you for answering. Thank you. All right. Growing out legs. I'd never grown out a leg before in my life till I saw somebody else do it. And I saw somebody else do it. Okay, so after I saw somebody else do it and I saw that leg grow out, I rehearsed that in my mind a lot. I would think about it a lot. All of a sudden, I would just think about that leg growing out and going, that is amazing. That is so wonderful. In fact, we got a guy in the congregation who can give a testimony. Several people here can give testimonies. And I just saw that happening. And I go, Lord, I want to do that. I want to do that. So I would see myself putting down my hands and seeing a leg grow out in my hands. And since I already saw one do it, I was easily able to place that into my picture of me seeing a leg grow out. And I did. Guess what? I'm not bragging or anything, but every single person with a short leg that I've prayed for, I've gotten to watch their leg grow out. Every single person. You know, and it's just not everybody has short legs, so it's not like everybody. But when I come across somebody, the pain leaves and the leg grows. And it's just... why? Because I saw it and I'm convinced of it and I know it's real. And once I was convinced of it and I know it's real, there's no more doubt in me, because I saw it happening as I prayed for him in my own mind. So going over there one more time to make sure that you got all of them. Number one, be honest with yourself. Number two, speak to the mountain swiftly. Number three, prepare for peace in times of war. Number four, spot condemnation. Five, guard your tongue. Six, weed the garden of your heart. And seven, the power of your imagination. It's like if you have some kind of illness and you've been dealing with it for a long time, remember yourself when you didn't have it. See yourself playing and being yourself without it. You know that? I remember when I used to smoke. I used to smoke and I didn't want to smoke anymore. So you know what I did? I tried and tried to quit and I couldn't quit. I tried and tried and tried and I couldn't quit. And the Lord said, why don't you do it the way I would do it? And I said, how would you do it? He said, I would call things that be not as though they are. And he said, I don't lie and say I don't have it. And I said, what? I don't lie and say I don't have it. In other words, this would be lying. Smoking cigarettes, saying, I don't smoke, I don't smoke, I don't smoke, I don't smoke. That doesn't work. That's lying. But what I would do is I would see myself as a non-smoker. And so what do non-smokers look like or sound like? What do they say? How do they live? So I'd walk around my swimming pool smoking cigarettes and saying, Lord, I thank you that I have pink lungs. Lord, I thank you that I got nice skin. Because I met all these RV ladies, you know, that had tans and smoked cigarettes and had deep voices. And it's like I noticed their skin was all wrinkly. I said, Lord, thank you that I got nice skin. Thank you that I smell good. Thank you, Lord, that I love to drink water and exercise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a brand new healthy body. I appreciate having a healthy body. And to walk around my swimming pool saying faith statements of a healthy person, I would declare those things over myself, saying that I am that healthy person. Was I smoking? Yes, my body was, my physical flesh was smoking. But remember when I gave you the example, your flesh is a shadow. You don't change the shadow expecting that the body's going to change because you make the shadow change. That's crazy. The shadow doesn't have power over the body. The body has power over the shadow. So in the spirit realm, I have to see myself as a non-smoker. The only part of my spirit I got is the power of my imagination, and then I back it up with my words, because this is natural, it's flesh. So as I changed the picture I had on the inside and spoke that reality over and over and over again, while the natural body seemingly was doing exactly the opposite. In other words, it was still smoking. I'd crush that cigarette out and smoke another one as I kept confessing, going around the pool. I never deliberately tried to stop smoking. I changed the picture on the inside. Once the picture was real on the inside, when it was real to me, my body reflected my real beliefs. Are you with me? So, if you have a sickness in your body, it's not, get out of my body, devil. Body, you line up with the word of God and you do what you're supposed to do. Yes, do that. But if it's not working, if you need to go to the next level is, let's just use something like, I have a rash all over my body, okay? And I don't know what this rash is coming from, but I know it's attacked from the devil. It's not because I'm a healthy human being. So I would walk and I'd say, Lord, I just thank you that I have beautiful skin. I thank you that I have soft, youthful skin, Lord. Father, I thank you that I get plenty of sunshine and I can wear nice clothes. I wear short sleeves and I walk confidently in my short sleeves. Whatever, something like that. Seeing myself pure without the rash or acne or whatever the case may be until it becomes real, I get it from the spirit, is my real belief. And then it'll manifest in the natural. Are you with me? That's what I'm talking about, seeing it in the spirit of the power of your imagination first. Okay? Let's go on a little bit. I got to cover a couple more areas, and I want to have time to do that. Okay? So let's do ministering to others next. So we're talking about when you're a prayer minister and you're standing up here, or you're praying for somebody in the church, okay? The rest of you that are just auditing, you can just glean this information in your personal life. But for those of you that are prayer ministers, this is how we'll do it. You'll be standing up here when you're praying for people. They'll come up to you. Matt or somebody will lead them up to you, or else, if there's not a bunch, they politely wait here, and then when they see somebody's free, they come up, or in that aisle over there. When they come up, introduce yourself to that person. Hi, I'm Robert. Number two, never assume you know what they're coming up there for prayer for. I could be doing this as I walk up here. You know what? As I walk up, I can be doing that. But that's not even on my mind. My son just got incarcerated, and they said it's a third-degree murder, and he didn't do it because I was with him, but the judge didn't believe me, and they took him away anyway. I need prayer that my son's going to be set free. That's what's really on his mind. His limp is not the thing he wants prayer for, okay? So let's not read into what we want prayer for, okay? Usually somebody that's in a wheelchair or with crutches or a walker, they are targets for people that want to pray for people, okay? Just think, everybody does that to them. They might not want prayer for that. They're tired of everybody in the church trying to lay hands on them, okay? They got their own relationship with God. They're working things out. They might want financial prayer instead, agreement for their finances, okay, or a better job, something like that. So never assume what people want prayer for. Here's one. Ask questions. When people come up to me and I'm asked, and I'm here and I introduce myself, hi, what can I pray for? I ask them, what's going on? I usually say, what's going on? And I let them tell me what's happening. Listen to what they say. A good question is this, what do you believe will happen for you when I pray for you right now? Locate them. Where are they at? Locate them. It's okay to talk to people that are coming up here for prayer and to be their friend as you get ready to pray for them, okay? Next, don't give unbelief a voice. Once they tell you what they're coming up there for prayer for, don't in your heart go, oh no, that's contagious. Oh no. Don't do that. Don't go, has anybody died from that around you? Don't do that kind of stuff. Just zip the lip. If your insides are freaking out, keep it on the inside. Let God show himself mighty. Let God be God. All you need is faith. All you need to do is, sometimes all you need to do is this. God's just waiting for this to happen so that he can move. That's all. Keep it simple. It doesn't have to be big, long-winded things. In fact, it works better when there's very few words. Don't give unbelief a voice. Just keep it to yourself. I had one guy I was praying for, and in my heart, I remember this so strongly. I use it all the time. That's why I always say it, because I've used it so many times. He needed prayer, and in my heart, I thought, oh, shoot, nothing happened. And it was a big meeting, and oh, shoot, nothing happened. And he looked discouraged when he left, too, but neither one of us spoke anything. 2 hours later, he was in the car and he got completely healed, 100%. 100% healed. Next year, we did these yearly events. The next year he came, he's handing out scriptures to everybody. He goes, do you remember who I am? I says, I think so. And he says, you prayed for me for this and this. And I said, oh, I remember that. I remember what happened. In my heart, I went, oh, no, it didn't work. He goes, that's what happened to me too. I walked away going, oh, no, it didn't work. And 2 hours later in my car, I got totally set free. So now I'm giving these scriptures out to everybody. And he was a maniac. He was on fire because God healed him 2 hours later. Okay, so just don't give unbelief a voice. Let God be God. I'll tell you a secret. This one's not on my list. I'm just going to give this to you for free. The anointing abides in you. That's not even, that's just free. Listen, the anointing abides in you. It's in you. So if you touch something, the anointing sticks and stays. Let it do its work. Just let it. Put your hand on them. Let the anointing do the work. It's not you. It's what you carry. It's whom you carry. So sometimes just lay hands on in the name of Jesus, if they don't have any pain in your body, there's no way to really test it. We'll get to that. So just bless them and let them go their way and let the anointing do its job. If you can have confidence that the anointing will do its job, it'll do its job. Okay? Don't give unbelief a voice. Win a victory in one area first. That's a big one. So let's say this. You got a person coming up here and they have a shopping list of problems that are wrong with them, okay? And they've just got a list of things that are wrong with them. Pick one thing that you think would probably be the easiest one to get healed first, or something that's measurable, like a little bit of pain in their body. Something that you can gauge is real when it leaves or gets fixed, okay? And pain's a great one. You ask them from a scale of 1 to 10, how much pain are you in right now? Or what's the range of motion of your body? What can you do? Find that out. And so you got a scale. And once you know what it is, then pray for them. This is how you pray. Ready? Be healed. That's all you need to do. You can do this. Pain, go in Jesus' name. Here's what I normally do. I thank God. If you guys have been prayed for by me, I thank God for who you are. I say, Father, I thank you for my sister or my brother. I thank you that they're a godly vessel, that your spirit dwells in them and that you love them. Thank you for my brother or sister. I usually say that first. And then I put my hand on wherever the Holy Spirit tells me to put it on, whether it's on their shoulder or on the problem. Guys, don't touch girls where your hands should not be, ever. Even if they say it's okay. No, don't do it. Okay? Just, they can put their hand somewhere and you can put your hand on top of them, okay? Always ask permission. Always. No matter who you are. Say, is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? Is it okay if I put my hand on your back? Is it okay if I put my hand on your head? Okay? Have permission. Some people like the way their hairdo is and they don't like it messed up. You never know. That, I'm just telling you real. You know, some people get more mad because you messed up their hair and they don't even care that the pain left. They care that you messed up their hair. Okay? So some people take a lot of time getting their hair straight. I don't. Thank God. Anyway, so get a little victory someplace. In other words, in pain. If it's a 10, and if I prayed for you, you know I do this. I'll go, what's it now? And they'll go, it's a 5. I'll say, well, that's good. And they start going to walk away because that's a lot better than it was. I said, no, come here. If we can get a 5, we can get a 0, okay? And I'll say, Lord, and I'll pray, I forget him. I'll say, Lord, thank you for the 5, but let's make it a 0 now. Pain, completely go in Jesus' name. And then you get it down to a 1 or a 0, they are jumping and are shouting. Then if they got other things, they've got faith in them now, is rising in them that God's doing something. You know, here's another one. If they've got a chronic pain and it's a 10 and it only goes down to an 8, we'll say, okay? You and I might think discouraged, but praise God, no. It moved. It was a 10 and it moved to an 8. Guess what? God's working now. It's moving. Faith will increase because it moved. There's hope. We can get more now. And then we can start working on it to get more and more. Get that taken care of. Move on to the next thing in their body and get that taken care of. Listen. Nothing's hard. Nothing's hard. I'll get to that last. The last one is have an attitude that it's a piece of cake for Jesus. It's easy peasy for Jesus to heal somebody. It's easy for Jesus to heal somebody. Have that attitude. Okay? We want a victory in a small area first, and then we go to other places in their bodies. Here's one. When they come up here, listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. What's He telling you as they're walking up the aisle or as they're standing there or as you're praying for somebody and you notice the next person in line? What's the Holy Spirit saying in all of this? Be aware of that. He's giving you cues. He's giving you signals. He's talking to you. He's putting your attention in places. He's leading and directing you simultaneously while you're dealing with this stuff. Pay attention to it, okay? Listen to what their heart is saying. What are they saying when they're standing up here and they're trying to explain what's going on and they're saying this, that, or the other thing, or maybe they're confused about it, or they're rattling on and on. What is it their heart saying? What is it they're up here for? Have the Holy Spirit focus your attention on what is it that their heart is speaking to me right now? What do they need? Sometimes they actually need to forgive somebody and they've got problems in their bodies, knuckle pains, arthritis, swollen joints because of the unforgiveness that they just won't release, and the bitterness is just getting rampant and their physical body is rebelling against the bitterness that they've been carrying, and they need to forgive somebody. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in those areas, okay? Now, this is for people that come in for it. Tell them what the Bible says. It's okay to tell them what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. That if I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Are you willing to recover when I lay hands on you? Yes. Yes. Are you expecting to be fully made well when I pray for you? Yes. There's faith present. Now it's piece of cake. All right, no problem. You can ask if they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Again, we're talking about people that come up here. People need to be born again, and they need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're able to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Is there anyone not comfortable baptizing someone in the Holy Spirit? Let me see a show of hands. If not, I'll teach that next week when I'm here. Okay? All right, several of you would like to be more confident in being able to baptize somebody in the Holy Spirit. All right, I will make that a focal point next week, okay? We're going to do a little exercise next week, a little hands-on stuff, just for visual training kind of stuff. And we'll talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit too, and I'll explain that, okay? I want you to know it's easy. It's really easy. Just to let you know, really easy. I don't have a lot of time, but I have ministered to thousands of people, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, people that have been for years locked up, Baptist ministers, been a minister for 30 years, and finally decided, all right, I'm going to get on the bandwagon with everybody else. I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I've got so many years of saying it's not real and it's of the devil that I can't receive. I have such problems receiving, you know? They're easy to get them to receive. Catholic priests are easy to get the baptism in the Holy Spirit. People that have been for years laboring, they're easy. Just want to let you know, everybody's easy, all right? Take my word for it. If you can just accept that, you'll see easy results, okay? Ready? Give homework to some of the people that you pray for. Some of the people that you pray for, you see them in church week after week after week, and some of the things they're praying for is not the first time that they've been prayed for that. So give people homework. If the Holy Spirit tells you of a verse, have them quicken you a verse. Some of you people, the Lord gives you verses for things. You know, some of you people are really good about, as you were talking, the Lord gave me a verse. Some of you are like that. Those are perfect opportunities for you to give people verses so they can study on some things, you know, so that they can receive. You know, and Pastor Trey in Healing School has been talking a lot about the different miracles that Jesus has done. That's a great thing to have them go and to get in their Bible in the Harmony of the Gospels in the back, scroll right down to it and see some of the miracles and have them read all the Gospels on those particular miracles. You know, those kinds of things so that they can start getting aware of this stuff and opening up their spiritual eyes and ears to be able to receive better, okay? See the person, not the problem. See the person, not the problem. The problem's going to go when you pray. It's going to go. So don't acknowledge them by the problem. See the person there, and that person's free. Okay? See them as if they're already completely free when you pray for them. It's not difficult at all. And here's the thing. If you do have problems, like say I've had people that have burns on their arms or bumps or something that my eyes were lying to me and just making me freak out, close my eyes. I just close my eyes. Honestly, I'm telling the truth. I'd close my eyes. And sometimes they'd clean up and sometimes they wouldn't. But it stopped me from freaking out on the inside. Okay? After you do it for a while, you won't freak out. You've got so many times of seeing success that it won't bother you anymore. You'll just go for it, you know? Like I was talking about the very first day, when we come with all the faces, it doesn't matter what the problem is. It's got to go. And as you get experience and you have a couple of times under your belt, your faith will start jumping up too. You'll be going, wow, it is all the Holy Spirit. It's not me. Wow, it really is easy. This is okay. All right, I can do another one. Bring somebody else on. Especially when you see him healed, you'll be all excited. Go, is there anybody else I can pray for? You'll get going. Trust me. It's exciting. And the last one I told you already. It's a piece of cake with Jesus. Lastly, let's talk about children. I want to lump together children and spouses or loved one. Those two things, I've seen a lot of problems in those two areas, okay? And they're both, you kind of handle both of them the same way. First of all, you've got to be diplomatic. You need to separate the child from the parent, or you need to separate the spouse from the other spouse, or whoever the other person is with them. It's been my experience that the person that needs prayer is not the talker. The other person is. And so what you need to do is, and I want to say this most politely, separate the person from the talker person. Okay? Because they need to be able to receive on their own from where they're at. They need to be able to receive on their own. So we'll do children first. So if I had a child that needed prayer and the parent was there, first of all, children cling to their parents, aren't they? Especially in an environment that they feel unsafe or unsure. So ask the parent to sit where the child can see them all the time, where they can each see each other all the time. But take the child a little bit away from the parent. So the child is there with you. Parents over there. And just say, just let me talk to them right now. Is that okay with you? Can I just have their personal attention? Yes. They always say yes. Because they can see, they can kind of hear, and then you can settle the child down. and have some fun with them. You need to explain things on their level. That, because to them, they don't know what to expect. They just have no idea. If you'll settle down and tell them and say, you know, Jesus wants you to get healed, and if I lay my hands on you, Jesus will heal you. Is that okay for me to put my hands on you and let Jesus heal you? And sometimes they'll say yes. Sometimes they'll say no. And just, if they're very, very shy and very skittish, just take a second and sit down with them and ask them, what's going on? What's happening? Where does it hurt? When did it start hurting? And just get them to open up a little bit. When you can get them to open up a little bit and start sharing what is their words coming out of their mouth, then you can start reaching that child in their heart. Okay? And once you can get that child to be open to you, then they can receive from you. Jesus wants to heal them. Okay? So let them feel comfortable with Jesus through you as you're praying for them. Okay? And then take them back and present them back to their parents. Say, Mommy, look, I'm healed. You know, and let them share all that kind of stuff. But one, two things. You got to get them away from each other. I can't even tell you how many kids I've prayed for where the parents right there holding them the whole time and nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. I get them away from the parent so that I can get the child to open up again and get real with me and start sharing. Then I can see some progress with the child. Okay? Same with spouses or the person that brings them in that's the talker. This other person is kind of more mild-mannered and quiet and unsure of themselves. And the talker is the one. Have them sit down so they can see. Take the other one away and ask them, what's going on? What are you believing God for? What do you expect to happen here? Well, nothing really. She dragged me in here. She told me that I needed to get healed. So she dragged me in here. I don't even believe in this stuff. Yeah? Okay. Praise God. That's all right. But is it okay if I pray for you and you get healed anyway, even if you don't believe in it? Well, sure. Of course it is. Okay, great. I'm going to lay hands on you, and then you're going to be healed. Is that okay?
Okay.
And go ahead and pray for them right then and there, you know? Or sometimes they say, give it your best shot. I've had all kinds of stuff praying, you know? You've got to be able to let them feel comfortable, whoever it is, and get them separated. It's very difficult. I can't even tell you how many times I've had to pray for people when the spouse is just like dominating the other person and they feel like they have to do it to get their approval, you know? But once you can find out what's really in their heart, you'd be amazed at what happens. Amazed. So remember, treat everybody with respect. Everybody. Can I give you a couple of practical things? One, your best friend is breath mints, banaca, or those little things that melt on your tongue. What you do not want is gum. No gum. Okay? Gum is very distracting. Not everybody knows how to chew with their mouth closed. And it's a toy that moves around in their mouth when you're talking and praying. Okay? So, no gum. If you have gum, we're not going to throw you out. But there's better solutions to the problem. No overpowering colognes or perfumes. Okay? Just because you love it so much doesn't mean somebody else does. If you happen to be one of those blessed few that love essential oils, please no. Not while you're ministering in prayer. Okay? No essential oils. At least none in a degree that you're a walking fragrance. Okay? There's some people that like fragrances that other people don't like. Patchouli oil. People don't like the smell of it. We don't use that anymore, do we? But those kinds of things. No, you probably would. There were people that just loved that stuff. It's like, oh. Okay? So essential oils, it's okay if you need it for yourself, but don't go overboard with it to where everybody else has to enjoy your fragrance also. Okay? At least just up here. All right? Women, no loose collared clothes. No super short skirts. This way, if you got to fuss with it, it's probably not the best thing to be wearing. If you have to fuss with it, okay? Wear something that you don't have to be conscious of when you're up here praying for people, okay? Huh? No, that really, because you don't need to be distracted or have anybody else distracted at that time. just some real practical things. Okay? While you're up here, say it's before service, it's okay to be social with people, but be attentive also. Because if we have something up there that says prayer ministers are at the front of the sanctuary, and we got something up there, and somebody walks in, and you're sitting here enjoying somebody's company and not paying attention, they might not feel like they want to interrupt you. So they might not come up here. So talk, but be attentive to the group, okay? When you're doing this post here. And afterwards, you guys have all seen it. Same thing. We all line up here, however we do it, and we're attentive to what's going on. At first, when we have the prayer ministers out, I'll be walking around and just listening and helping, okay? Also, there'll be other people here. Pastor Trey is usually at the door, but if he's up here, he's another good one. Some of the other leaders that have been praying for people, Shannon, Debbie, Donna, and I, they would be more than happy to jump in if you didn't feel comfortable. Minton, people who aren't afraid of things, then you just need a backup, perfectly fine. Women praying for women, men praying for men, we don't really have that rule here. But if there is somebody that comes up for prayer and they creep you out, I'm being honest with you. There are guys that try to hug women and they don't like it. They just don't like it. And the guy's going, what's wrong with me? You know, just be polite and just ask one of the guys, you know, can you pray for this brother here? And just be polite and roll them off onto somebody else, okay? We'll be attentive in the beginning until you kind of learn the ropes on how to do that, all right? Just basic common sense things, all right? And here's the last thing. We are not counselors. We absolutely are not counselors. We do not give people medical advice. We do not tell them to try this essential oil. We do not say, take this vitamin or nutrient. We do not say, well, if God healed you, you don't need your blood pressure medicine anymore. When they come up and go, well, I got prayer now, so by faith, I'm going to throw away my blood pressure medicine. Do not encourage that. Don't condone that. Don't at all encourage that, okay? Because they will do this. They'll say, well, the prayer minister said I didn't need it anymore. That is not what you said at all. But that's how they took it. So if they don't need their medicine anymore, their doctor will tell them they don't need their medicine anymore. Healed people don't take medicine. They just don't. Because they don't need it, right? So healed people don't take medicine. So if I got healed from prayer, I'm not going to take that medicine anymore because I got healed. I don't care what you say. I don't need the medicine anymore, so I'm not going to take it. You see the different point of view? It's on me. I don't want it anymore, so I've decided I don't want it. That's not you as a prayer minister. Lastly, I don't care what the government condones. Medical marijuana is not something we suggest to people. Okay? Even if it gets legal in Georgia, we don't go there, okay? We stick to spiritual things. It's the Holy Spirit all the time, all right? That's the advice we give. All right. Last thing. Let's just say you come up here and there's a felony taking place, okay? Huh? You have to tell. Say a child is being abused and the wife is confiding that her husband is doing that to the children, or something illegal like that is taking place, you don't have to carry that, okay? Come to me, come to Pastor Trey, and let us deal with it, okay? You don't have to make a big deal in front of that person either. Just pray, button it up the best you can, pray for whatever else you need to pray for, and then come let us know, okay? We'll handle it after there. We don't need you thinking, oh, they're going to come after me or something. Don't worry about any of that, okay? We'll protect you. We will be very diplomatic on dealing with that. But if you come across something like that, it's very, very rare. But if you do, you have to let us know, okay? All right.